good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Well, what do you think? Little white knuckle-y for you, huh? Is it? So far, I don't believe any of the states that were expected to go for either Obama or McCain have switched. In other words, no reds have gone blue, no blues have gone red. Still an awful lot of undecided, or I should say results that are too, it's too early to call or it's too close to call. But, of course, here in the South, yeah, hot damn, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, and Georgia, woo, all decided they want more torture, more war, more poverty, more low wages, more taxes, more this. It's astonishing to me. I can't help it. A lot of people say, well, why do you live down there? I like the weather. I like the location. But, you know, here we are, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, and Georgia. Goddamn right, boy. We're going for John McCain. If you don't like it, you can get out of here. Oh, well. Thank God Liddy Dole is defeated. She can go back to helping her husband sell Viagra or whatever. I don't know whatever Elizabeth Dole does. And it appears that the 60... seat. Oh, there goes Arkansas for John McCain. Yeah, hell yeah. It appears that the 60-seat veto-proof majority, or I should say filibuster-proof majority in the Senate for the Democrats is going to happen. Now, that would be good news. And the reason to be good news is because the Republicans are obstructionists. They do not want the damage that they have done over the past 6 years, 8 years, to be undone. Actually, it's been longer than that. So it is key to have a veto-proof majority in the House and a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. So that seems to be working to a conclusion for the Democrats. We can hope. I think the electoral count right now, Obama 175, remember he needs 270, to win. McCain has 76, so there's a 100-point difference. Indiana is still, I believe, is still a toss-up. Is it not, Kathy? I think Indiana is still a toss-up. North Carolina is still a toss-up. Florida is still a toss-up. These are key states that, or is Indiana, has that been declared for, no, it hasn't? All right. All right, what we're going to do tonight is take your phone calls. I don't have a whole lot to say. If you are like us here in the studio, we are watching most of this on television. We are following very closely MSNBC's coverage, live coverage on the Internet. They are, netcasting. So if you go to msnbc.msn.com, you will get exactly the same coverage that you get on television. So that's where we will be paying the closest attention tonight. And we'll be taking your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. We don't have... like I said, nothing earth-shattering on the Malloy program tonight. We are observers. We are witnesses, just like you are. We're going to take this in real time, just like you are. We have occasional phone calls from Brad Friedman, who keeps an eye on voter theft, I should say election theft, perpetrated by the Republicans over the past 15, 20 years. So Brad will be checking it occasionally. So if you want to chat about this, let's hear from you, 800-989-1480. If not, what we might do is just switch over and just play MSNBC audio. I mean, it's all right with me, you know. I'm certainly not going to sit here tonight and talk Malloy stuff, not while this is going on. This is an historic election, any way you look at it. And the life of this country and possibly the world, the health of this country, and possibly the world hangs in the balance. A McCain-Palin win pretty much ends life in America as we've known it or thought we knew it for the foreseeable future. With a McCain-Palin presidency, you can be assured that the Supreme Court will be lost to right-wing neo-Nazis for probably the next 30 or 40 years. So this is a very, very, very important election for the obvious reasons. And again, the solid South so far, with the exception of Florida and North Carolina, and I think, has Virginia been declared yet? No, Virginia is still up for grabs. So Virginia, No, I don't think so. I think I'm looking at MSNBC's map, and Virginia, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, if you want to check in, the number's 800-989-1480. Let's check in with Brad Friedman right now, who's on the hotline. Brad, what you got?
Did you say you weren't going to do Malloy stuff tonight, and then you started calling people Nazis? Did I hear that,
right? Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. Wait a minute. Which one? Virginia has been declared for McCain, right?
No, not as far as I know.
I didn't think so.
Would be huge if that happened indeed. We're watching that closely, though.
Yeah, and North Carolina is still open, too, I believe.
North Carolina is, but we saw a bellwether there. Kay Hagan defeated...
Isn't that wonderful?
...Elizabeth Dole. That is huge, and I think that may tell us something about which way that state may go eventually here.
I hope that's the case. If anyone deserved to be run out of the Senate... It was Elizabeth Dole. Tell me what she's done in 6 years.
I couldn't name a thing.
Right.
I couldn't name it, although she claimed the other woman doesn't love God or some such. I mean,
she's one of those dirty rotten atheists like that Mike Malloy on that communist Nova M radio network.
Also, speaking of people who should not be in Congress, ABC News is projecting that my old friend, Tom Feeney, the Republican vote rigger from South Florida, you remember the Clint Curtis story.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like Tom Feeney is also being unseated tonight.
Oh, good.
Isn't that good news? Now we can throw him in jail.
That's great.
and Jean Shaheen, of course, you heard that big news.
She beat Sununu.
John Sununu. These are huge, huge stories. If the numbers hold up the way they're looking, we have some pretty enormous history on our hands here tonight, it's looking like, but... We've seen things turn ugly late night before, Mike.
Oh, sure. So one has to be very, very, very careful with when you're dealing with Republicans. Republicans will slip a knife, or not a knife, an ice pick between your fifth and sixth rib. Go in there and slice up your liver, and then pull it out, and you never know what happened. You just slowly bleed to death. They're really evil people.
Are you not doing that Malloy stuff again?
What have you gotten any reports, overt reports of election fraud going on at the hands of the Republicans? Anything of note?
We've seen a lot of dirty tricks, and in the previous hours, we had the secretaries of state on from both Ohio and Missouri. I'm happy to report they're saying, for the most part, the worst that they're seeing right now is these dirty tricks. You know, come back and vote on Obama voters
right.
Supposed to come Wednesday. So far, that's the worst of it. We are seeing machine failures, particularly in Virginia, that are going to be important here because we had massive machine failures earlier, which means when they use touchscreens across that state, and when they go down, people can't vote. Is that fraud? Is that failure? I don't know, but people can't vote, and that's going to, obviously, the lower the turnout here, the more it's going to help Republicans in states like Virginia and Georgia and Indiana, which is still very close in that regard.
One of the comments made towards the end of the campaign, it was made repeatedly by members of the McCain campaign, that they had to win Pennsylvania. Well, they have not won Pennsylvania. It's gone to Obama. Is that a bellwether? Is it all over?
Well, I'm not going to say it's all over because John Kerry won Pennsylvania in 2004, so there is still a path for McCain to thread this needle. But that was one that they were really hoping to get. I don't know what they were thinking because it never really looked like they were going to get Pennsylvania. I think they drank their own Kool-Aid in that whole Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama nonsense and really thought that they could somehow win. There's still a path to victory, but it's looking pretty grim. And, by the way, in Philadelphia, we're still following a lot of dirty tricks, a lot of people falling off the rolls, and that's going to affect Senate races and everything else out there.
It will. All right, Brad, stay near a phone. Check
you
in
bet.
With again when you have a chance. We're going to take a break. Brad Friedman will be joining us later on in the program tonight. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Through the distance, ribbon of black, stretched to the point of no turning back. Flight of fancy on a windswept field, standing alone, my senses reel.
Welcome back. 21 past the hour. So it, I don't know how you, how you're dealing with this, but it's kind of a white knuckle ride, for me. Again, Obama has about 100 more electoral votes than McCain, although we still are very much, in the early part of the evening. North Carolina and Virginia and Florida and Ohio. And Indiana, I believe, all of them are still pretty much undecided, I think. Oh, God. All right, let's go to your phone call. Charlene is calling from Gilbert, Arizona, listening on KPHX. Hey, Charlene.
Hey, Mike. I'd like to take a few minutes to just go over all the emotions I've been feeling for the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
I am a registered nurse, and I deal with the senior population on a daily basis doing telephonic case managing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know what their plight is with, you know, Medicare and Part D and all of that stuff.
Right.
And about 2 weeks ago, I watched Sicko and was like,
yeah,
got to have universal single source payer medicine.
We've got to. Absolutely have to.
And then I discussed the movie with one of my coworkers the next day, who her and her husband are under the radar for $250,000 a year, but they, between the two of them, their combined income is twice what mine is. And she said, "Al, do you know what happens if we go to single universal payer? Things will be so expensive." And I swear to God, I tried to get a hold of you that night. I was so depressed. I needed an emotional hug.
I hear you.
But the last thing was today, I took my 20-year-old daughter to vote for the first time. Boy, was that an emotional thing for me.
I'll bet.
However, are we canceled out each other's vote?
Well, can I ask why?
Well, she is involved with an unusual... Well, I shouldn't say unusual. She's involved with a group of people who are some kind of Bible-studying Christians. They're not like Baptists or Presbyterians. I don't know what the heck they are.
Mm-hmm.
And her boyfriend's father is, you know, is a significant person in the church. He's been telling people that if Barack gets elected, it's God punishing the U.S. So you see what we're dealing with? She was in Florida for 3 months and just got back here in the beginning of October. Just was here just in time to register to vote when she turned back over her driver's license to an Arizona license.
Mm-hmm.
And she registered as a Republican. Now, I'm registered as an independent because
right.
I refuse to, you know, give any party my, you know, my loyalty. But so we canceled out each other's votes today.
Are you concerned about your daughter?
No, because I think someday she'll see the light. We were talking about health insurance the other day. She's not working. She has no health insurance, has a chronic problem, should be on medication, can't afford it. And I said, you know, we really need single-payer source insurance. And she started to say, well, you ain't going to get it with the Republicans. And she shut up. She realized what she was saying, and she covered her mouth. And I went, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but if Barack loses tonight, I'm going to need a big, big supply of Prozac or one of those things and maybe some electroshock therapy.
I hear you. Thanks, Charlene. Thanks for checking in. Good luck with your daughter. Oh, my God, that's scary. All right, let's go right to MSNBC now. And Ohio has...
Halfway. You take that, combined with the fact that right now...
Ohio
Barack Obama's
has been,
leading in Orange County in Orlando. He's under...
Ohio has been declared, of course, for Obama. So
McCain's underperforming.
Let's listen to this Republican.
He's underperforming in Southeast. He's underperforming in Southwest Florida. It really does look, unless there's a huge turnaround in Florida, and he's running out of time there, it looks like Florida will also go Barack Obama's way tonight. So this will be a big victory.
We have another one to report. Louisiana, we can report now, is for McCain. That is the NBC News projection that Louisiana, and it's 9 electoral votes for Senator John McCain. Chuck Todd, let's bring you into this discussion. Our political director, Ohio. That's a big one. I mean, that's a, you know, suddenly that eliminates the need for Obama to have Colorado, New Mexico, Iowa. That makes up ground. Look at the blue paint. You know, it's almost as if blue paint got spilled, and we're seeing in the Northeast here a little bit, it's starting to eke its way, and we're wondering, is it going to drift southward into Virginia right now?
We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
High higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. You know, I'll tell you, Kathy, I will be so glad to get rid of all the liners and drop-ins that we have that have anything to do with Bush, anything to do with this bastard McCain or the hoe from Alaska. I will be so glad.
But, Mike, I don't know what I'm going to do without Sarah Palin.
We're going to be able to breathe. We're going to be able to stop thinking that a lunatic like Sarah Palin could wind up in the Oval Office. Obama now has 200 of the necessary 270 electoral votes to be the next president of the United States. McCain has 85. One of the interesting statistics, very interesting to me, because I think it spells the end of the Rove Cheney McCain, I should say Rove Cheney Bush, reign of terror. When asked across the country the most pressing issue to Americans, 63%, the most pressing issue in this election, said it was the economy. In fifth place was terrorism, 9%. They really milked us on that, didn't they? They set up 9/11 so that it would happen. And then they milked it for the past 7 years. How many people have died is anyone's guess. Americans, Afghans, Iraqis, Syrians, Israelis, Lebanese, Saudis, because of what Bush and Cheney and Rove and the rest of these war criminals have done. And there is no way at this point for McCain to pull this out. It is going to be President Obama, and again, when you take a look at the electoral map, a lot of people have said in a wry or sarcastic or a cynical kind of way that you know, the South, the solid South, we ought to just break the country into two chunks, and you know, I'm starting to agree with that. When you take a look at the electoral map, you look at the red states, they're all states that were in the old Confederacy. Mississippi hasn't been decided yet. North Carolina, which, you know, I don't consider North Carolina to have been part of the old Confederacy. I understand that it was, but I can't go there. North Carolina and Virginia have yet to be decided. as have as West Virginia, but the rest of the states that comprised the old Confederacy are solid right-wing Nazi states. They're just so out of touch with reality down here. Here in Georgia, I think the only three counties Metro Atlanta is made up of 12 counties. I think only three went for Barack Obama. The other nine Metro Atlanta counties went for McCain. What is it that people want that would cause them to vote for McCain in the South? This is the part of the country with the most miserable health rates. It's a part of the country with the highest murder rates, the highest suicide rates, the highest teen pregnancy rates, the highest snake handling religious nutball rates. What is it? What has to happen in order for white Southerners to understand that there should be a limit as to how far they'll go to vote against their own interests just so the queers can't get married? I can't get my mind around this. I just can't. Screw it. I live here, but I love being able to blend in with these sick bastards and realize that I'm not, along with hundreds of thousands of other people in the South, are not part of this either. I'm certainly not trying to lump all white Southerners together. There are a lot of decent white Southerners. What West Virginia now has gone for, or maybe some time ago went for McCain. But it's just astonishing to me that, like Mitch McConnell, who is the projected winner in Kentucky, Senator Mitch McConnell, who has done more to keep that state in a condition of sickness and poverty and ill health. And I don't get it. But he is a Republican, so, you know. Pat Roberts is another one in Kansas. What? Let's go to your phone calls. Anybody there? Does anybody want to want to check in? If you do, Marie is calling from Lee Summit, Missouri. Marie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I don't know if we should take out the champagne just yet.
Well, it's. I don't see a way McCain can burrow out of this at this point. He's. It looks like Florida is going to go for Obama. It looks like North Carolina is going to go for Obama. With Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan all gone for Obama, what's left?
I know. Well, I mean, at this point, I'm not religious, but I'm going back to my Catholic roots. Upbringing and just going ahead and lighting a candle just in case.
Yeah, well,
I'm like, I don't have anything else to, you know,
sure.
bring to the table except just hope for the projected vote. It just, mm-hmm. that really makes me wonder. But I don't know if Missouri is going to go for Obama or not. I am hopeful. But my prediction is that maybe for the first time it actually might not predict the winner. And it might go for McCain, but other states will determine Obama.
Well, Missouri right now is it's 54-45 McCain.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about 20,000 votes that separates the two, but 54% for McCain and 45% for Obama are the latest numbers that we have.
I am trying to be hopeful. I mean, I live in Lee Summit, Missouri, so mm-hmm. I'm in, you know, the part of the state that borders Kansas, and sometimes we do get some of the Republican rub-off. But the actual town where I live, I've seen a lot of posters for Obama, more mm-hmm. this last week than I have in the last previous week. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping.
Yeah, so, I hear you. Well, I make my religious preferences well known on this program, but I see nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with excuse me, burning a candle. That's a great idea. I mean, had I been brought up Catholic, I'd probably be doing it too, sweetheart. Trust me.
Well, I'm actually burning the candle and hoping that Barack Obama's grandmother from the other side is working a miracle.
Okay, now you're kind of pushing it for me, but that's cool. That's cool. All right. Thanks a lot for checking in, Maria. I appreciate it. You take care. 800-989-1480 is the number. Every single line is open. I guess you people just don't love me tonight. Okay, well, to hell with it. Let's go live with MSNBC for a while, Kathy. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to call a radio talk show host tonight either.
And Hawaii, and it gets grim. We haven't even touched Iowa. We haven't touched Colorado, Nevada, any of these other ones that are coming. This is the picture the McCain campaign's looking at. Look, this is what Ohio and New Mexico together meant to the Obama campaign. This is a big swing. You know, for about 2 hours tonight, this looked like 2000 and 2004.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we saw a break take place in the map. And all of a sudden, you know, you see the blue paint. And by the way, notice this consistency. We're seeing this blue paint is dripping down farther and farther, going from east to west over here. That is an intimidating, no longer a northeast corridor, but a northeast and rust belt corridor to the Republican Party. And yet, look at all these sporadic states in the south that we've yet to call. But there's the there's a potential path here for Obama to 270 that's very real, and I don't know yet if there is a path that has been plowed anymore for John McCain.
Chuck, is there anything that you can discern from the exit polling about how Obama's doing it?
Yes. I mean, the big thing to me is how he's performing among college-educated whites. I think that is going to be the demographic of the night. It's the one that we would single out. President Bush won college-educated whites. It is why, when you look at Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida being still in this too-close-to-call category, this is where Obama's overperforming with white voters. You know, everybody talked about how he might underperform with white voters. Well, that's not the case. He's doing, and when you saw in Pennsylvania, as well as Kerry did with working-class whites, but it's those college-educated white voters that President Bush won, frankly, that a lot of Republican candidates have won in the past.
Right.
That, to me, the demographic of the night, that shift to Obama is what has allowed him to create what is looking like a very easy path to 270 electoral votes, David.
Chuck, can we tell what the last several days...
All right, we have a break coming up here. When we come back, we're going to go to your phone call, starting with RB, who has called in from Canada, from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And I see some people want to talk now. So do join us. 800-989-1480 is the number. Of course, we realize you're going to get the best coverage possible by staying with your television coverage. We have gone to MSNBC.com, and we are watching live internet feed as Chuck Todd right now talks about the fact that college-educated white people are the ones that are making a big difference in some of these vote totals. And that, of course, was one of the worries. Had white America gotten to the point where it's able to transcend its genetic racism? And there's a good chance, except here in the corrupt, forever voting against its own best interest South, it looks like the rest of the country has decided it's time to get over this crap. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on NovaM Radio.
Brian's future, it's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. RB is calling from Canada, from Saskatchewan. Hey, RB, welcome to the program.
Hey, hello there, Mike. How are you?
I'll be better in another hour.
I'm still a bit of a wreck, but not much of a nervous wreck as I've been the last week.
Yeah, I hear that.
Especially leading up like yesterday and today, thinking,
Well, I'll tell you what, the first couple hours tonight, we were getting Molly to bed and doing last-minute stuff before starting the program, and I kept glancing at the reports coming in from CNN and MSNBC and starting to feel, if not panic, certainly a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. Oh, my God, this is going to be 2004 all over again. But in the past... hour, hour and a half, it has, I think America is making it clear they've had enough of this garbage, except for here in the South. Here in the South, it'll always be this way. The South is lost as far as having a civilized attitude about how to advance the country.
But still, the percentages are closer everywhere. I was looking at Nebraska. Obama's got 50% in Nebraska. I go, what the heck? This is a sea change. I just guess the turnout was too much. They couldn't steal it. It would have been too obvious.
Yeah.
And I think this could, I don't know, I'm praying that he's going to turn into another JFK minus the assassination and try to actually do something, you know, like smart for the first time in a while. And what worries me, though, is he's such a get-along guy. I have this bad feeling that when it comes to investigating the previous regime and the torture and all that, that he might do what Clinton did, and, you know, with Iran-Contra, and say, well, you know, for the sake of the country, then those rat buggers can go back to whichever rock they live under while they plot till the next time, and they can, you know, just try to do it better next time. That's what I'm worried about, is that even with the Democratic majority, if they get in and Barack wins and the Senate's and the House of Representatives, there's not going to be the political will to, you know, go after them for the abuses.
That's a very, very clear and distinct possibility. I hate to think that may be the case, but it just may be. I think that the people who committed the war crimes, invaded a country because they could, tortured, violated not just American law but international law. Yeah, I think the sons of bitches ought to really be brought to justice. The sad fact is that I think one of the last things Bush will do before he leaves office is to issue blanket pardons to everyone that was even remotely associated with his administration. Now, whether or not Barack Obama pursues it, I don't know. The only upside I can see is that enough Americans realize how close we came to becoming an international pariah, if we're not already, how close we came to this country becoming a fascist state. And I'm hoping that the lesson will be learned, except here in the South. Here in the South, there's always the chance that some Nazi leader will rise up and talk about how Jesus wants everybody to listen to the snakes because they have the word, you know, the psychopathic garbage.
Well, I hear you, because my stepdad out in B.C., he's a born-again Christian. For the last 30 years, he's had this. And he's the other day, when he was here last time, he was in Saskatchewan visiting, and we had a discussion. He said, "Well, you know what? The white man is the minority now, and all this garbage, and he reads those Lehane novels with
Left Behind series."
Oh, and my poor mother, I try to explain to her that all that stuff is crap, and she goes, "Well, I know, but I try to keep him happy, so I kind of just smile and go on." I say, "No, you got to get away from that kind of thinking. I mean, he's sitting there waiting around for, you know, Jesus to come back on the pile of bodies that we create, and it's something that I just can't understand. I can't know how you can get to that place where you can believe that in a vengeful, you know, evil, you know, I don't know, but he's supposed to be this all loving God, but if you make a mistake, he's going to
he's going to pinch your head off, RB, and kick it into hell, where it'll be used by the demons for a soccer ball. RB, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Spitfire is calling from Anaheim, California. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on with Prop 9? Do you have any idea? I mean, yeah, Prop 9, or no, Proposition 8. Do you have any idea yet?
I haven't heard anything yet.
Well, your polls are still open, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the polls are still open. They're not announcing.
Well, they're about to close. They're only going to be open for another 5 minutes, right?
Right, but they won't tell us a thing until then. I'll email you.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want, you know how you lament the deterioration of the Republican Party?
Yeah.
Okay. I want people to think about something. California is the birthplace of both Nixon and Reagan. We voted for Nixon twice.
Mm-hmm.
We voted for Ford. We voted for Reagan twice.
Yeah.
We voted for George Herbert Walker Bush.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the South, where you live, mm-hmm. is what put Jimmy Carter in the office.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of their own, a good old boy.
Right, but look how long he lasted.
Yeah, but I mean, the rest of the country was convinced that they had elected a rube into the White House, you know? And basically, look at how things are deteriorated with the Republican Party since it's Newt Gingrich's wordless.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it all started.
It is. Gingrich, I've often thought that Gingrich was probably a secret liberal mole who got inside the Republican Party and just ate it alive, utterly destroyed it.
I think that he was also, Lee Atwater and also the Nixon dirty tricksters. You know, just as the Republican Party, I think, went criminal with Nixon. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And when they got Reagan in there, they got a figurehead.
Yeah.
The power behind the throne, and that became their role model of how to run the White House.
Absolutely, and not just Reagan, but his two successors, George Herbert Walker Bush and his bastard son. Hey, Spitfire, we got to leave you there. Time for a break. Thanks, pal. Email me when something comes in on Prop 8. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is about 7 past the hour. Looking at live coverage on MSNBC from Grant Park in Chicago, where Kathy and I have spent an awful lot of fun times. Roughly 100,000 people have gathered there. This is ostensibly the Barack Obama headquarters. This is where the party, the after-election party, will be held in Chicago. Also, a live shot a few minutes ago from Harlem, New York. But it's interesting, in both shots on MSNBC, the crowds look so similar. Not a bunch of raucous partying, not big banners and flags waving, just thousands and thousands and thousands of people standing there waiting. I don't think there is any doubt as to the impact or the import of this election. I think all of us understand that. I think all of us understand that we're coming out of a very dark era in this country. We were so close to the abyss with these filthy Republicans, with these completely, they have become completely sociopathic conservatives. And it's time to send them away, far away. Just get them out of having any influence in the political realm. They are incapable of leading. They are incapable of thought. They are incapable of conducting themselves in an ethical or moral context. And because of that, and only because of that, it's not their political point of view. Their political point of view, in fact, is not too much different from the political point of view of mainstream Democrats. It's the fact that the Republicans, the conservatives, whether they are elected officials or party officials or the average Republican in the street, that person has become utterly corrupted over the past 18 years of a constant diet of lies and deceit and wordless and ugliness and meanness and war and torture and twisted Christianity and attitudes, negative attitudes of control and invasion of privacy against women. And as a result of all of this, the emotional, the psychological makeup of Republicans or conservatives has been crashed. It's absolutely useless. Now, that's fine. Those people can still function in their day-to-day lives. They can still tell their children all the necessary lies that they were told. They can vote like maniacs every time there's an election. But they have no business running the country. None. And I think the American people as a whole, I think the vast majority of us now understand this. That the age or the era of any sort of Republican or conservative dominance in this country is finished. It's over. We have seen it. We saw it with Reagan. We saw it with Pappy Bush. And now we've seen it with this dumbass that has existed for 8 years in the White House. And I think America has come to realize that the Republican emotional and psychological attitudes are completely, completely anti-American and sociopathic. Again, the political point of view of Republicans and mainstream Democrats, those political points of view are not that much different. Let's be honest, okay? But it's the sickness that I think exists inside every single Republican, every single conservative. You all have been poisoned. Your brains have been turned into something slithery and dark and mean and hateful. And damn you. And no mercy on you. I don't believe in mercy. not for this. Not for the kind of stuff you people have perpetrated against this country over the past 16, 18 years. No mercy. Gingrich and Tom DeLay and Cheney and the rest of these swine should be dumped in some kind of a pit and just forgotten. Oh, my God. All right, let's do some phone calls. Gary is calling from Long Island, listening on the Internet. Gary, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to just remind everybody, though, that, you know, him winning, even if he just maintains the slide that we're on and slows it down or whatever, and I tell you, the main thing that we're going to get out of this is hopefully some realistic Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think that's going to be huge because I tell you, the way we were going, a lot of people don't understand. They think we were just, oh, maybe they would, you know, get rid of Roe versus Wade and you know, stop gay marriage. I'm telling you, the way these guys are going with their right-wing picks, you know, all of a sudden you'd have no Miranda rights. You know, all of a sudden they don't need probable cause to search your home. I mean, that's the way these SOBs are going.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, a corporation puts out a product that hurts people and you just can't sue them anymore because you don't have the right to do that. A lot of people don't understand that. I think that's one of the big wins that we have no matter what. And so if the Democrats can get some young Supreme Court justices in there that are they don't even have to be liberal, just to be sane at this point, I think we could stop the slide that way.
I tend to agree with you, even though I have watched the Democrats in the Senate confirm two Supreme Court justices appointments that they could have stopped. I'm talking about Sammy the Fish Alito and John Roberts. Both of those nominees could have been stopped by the Democrats. Both of them are neo-fascist, and both of them were allowed to take the bench by Democrats. So I hear what you're saying, but I think you have to include that it's going to be extremely necessary for Democrats to in the Senate to step up and stop rolling over, stop playing dead, stop lying on their backs with their feet in the air, goddammit, and take a stand against this move to fascism. If they don't do it, if they don't do that, then, you know, Barack Obama to the 10th power means nothing. Barack Obama does not confirm anybody.
Yeah, but what do you think that this victory is going to do to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi? Because I tell you one thing really pissed me off. Before the 2006 election, I was on some, I signed some petitions online and things like that. And I used to get these emails from John Conyers saying, vote Democrat and we'll impeach the SOB.
Right.
And right after that frickin' election, it's, you know, it's off the table. I tell you, if I could have voted for John Conyers, I would have, you know, I would have voted against him. I would have voted for a Republican.
Oh, I hear you.
What? I'm sick of being lied to. And you know what? If you're going to be lying to me, I'll just vote Republican and just, you know, at least I know what the hell I'm going to be getting.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Gary, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Daryl is calling from Georgia. Hey, Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, long-time listener. Hey, I'm walking around here looking at the election, and kind of a calm is going over me because I've been frowning a lot over knowing that one of three bozos has never been hung or thrown in jail for Valerie Plame. My $12 billion they lost over in Iraq, and nobody's ever accounted for that, and just a ton of other things that I realize that's gone wrong with this administration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, do you realize that with 55 electoral votes in California and the other 18 in Oregon and Washington, and not to include Hawaii, he's won.
Yeah, he has, right.
So it's pretty much over.
Yeah, it is.
Which, you know, kind of brings me back to a question before. I kind of want to rib you. I was going to, you know, at my job about a couple weeks ago, we were saying, how could Mike Malloy go on vacation and leave the country at risk? You know, that was a terrible thing you did. We wanted to chastise you about that, you know.
Oh, yeah? Really?
You put the country at risk, Mike.
Yeah, I did. I know.
You can't
but
do that, you know.
Well, I, you know, for some reason, I felt like my sanity was real key at that moment. I had to get
Mike,
out of town, man.
Are you a patriot or are you with them, you know? You got to hang around, man. That was a crucial time.
Yeah.
But we made it through. You had some good substitutes. But what about this the Republicans are saying about we were supposed to turn this whole mess around in 2 years or a year and a half?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, why hasn't anybody kicked them in the groin about that and said, wake up, you know?
Well,
what are we going to do?
Yeah, Republicans are going to start saying that because they think they might have a chance in 2012. Barack Obama is going to be president for the next 8 years. That may be enough time for him to undo the damage that the Republicans have done in the past 18. I don't know, though. I don't think Barack Obama walks on water. I think he's going to have a real tough job. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
In the air, from those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's
21
real,
past the hour.
Ain't exactly there.
They still haven't called Virginia. Apparently Obama is ahead, not by much, by about 40,000 votes. North Carolina is almost a dead heat. I think Barack Obama is only ahead by about 4,000 out of nearly 4 million votes cast. Florida is looking like it is going to go to Obama. 68% of their precincts reporting is the latest figure we have, with Obama ahead by about 150,000 votes. Missouri, I think, is dead as far as Obama is concerned. McCain is leading in Missouri. And what's the other? In Indiana, that's a close race. Out of 2.5 million votes, there's only about a 4,000 vote difference, with McCain in the lead, 88% of the precincts reporting. So there you have it. Let's go back to your phone calls. Let's check in with Brad Friedman, who runs bradblog.com. Are you there, Brad?
Yes, I am. Hey, Mike.
Hey, so what's the latest, pal?
Well, I guess we're in this holding pattern now, doing some of the math here. Obviously, it looks pretty hard for McCain at this point. As a matter of fact, if our math is correct, if Obama lost every state out there at this point other than Washington State and California, then he would become the 44th president of the United States. So it's looking good. Iowa and New Mexico went to Obama, two states that had previously gone to Bush in 2004. And in Missouri, you said you thought that was gone. I'm not so sure that's the case. The Democratic governor, the new governor will be a Democrat, Jay Nixon, who's defeated the Republican Kenny Holchoff there. So Missouri seems to have elected a Democrat to the governorship.
Well, it's certainly still in play. There's only about 13,000 vote difference between with McCain ahead. With 50%, and that's the latest report we had was only 25% of the precincts reporting, so that could still go to Obama, Missouri.
And they are the bellwether in Missouri, my old home state. If you want to win the presidency, you pretty much have to win Missouri, it seems. So don't count it out yet.
What is the holdup with Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida?
Well, it's real close in pretty much all of those, and there's actually still challenges in both Virginia and Indiana. These are the some of the states where we've seen these challenges to voters, thousands of voters being challenged, and we spoke with Greg Palast a couple of hours ago tonight, and he says he's looking at a total of 6 million provisional ballots being counted, forced to vote on across the country. Mm-hmm. So if we've got some close states there, it could take quite a while to figure
out. Well, the latest numbers we have is in Virginia, Obama is ahead, but only by about 40,000 38,000 votes. North Carolina, which I didn't think would be this close. There's about 3,000 vote difference out of 3.5 million cast with Obama in the lead. That's pretty astonishing.
Well, one thing that's looking good in Virginia is that he had been behind. Now he is barely ahead at this point, but it has been moving in his direction. Mm-hmm. So that's an important bellwether. And just this note that the biggest voter turnout in 90 years. Since women won the right to vote.
Is that right?
Yeah. They were voting in unprecedented numbers. Women were given the franchise in 1920.
Mm-hmm.
And Secretaries of State, this is amazing, they were predicting turnouts approaching 90% in Virginia and Colorado. And 80% or more in states like Ohio, California, Texas, Missouri, and Maryland. Pretty extraordinary numbers. And I'll tell you, the lack of problems we've seen out there in some of those states where they now have Democratic secretaries of state.
Isn't that amazing?
Ohio, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? You get a Democratic secretary of state, and all of a sudden, there's no problems.
The lines go away. I mean, the turnout is so much higher than 2004, and yet, so far, so good. Now, I should caution that a lot of the problems we've seen in the past don't necessarily reveal themselves on election night,
right?
And certainly in some of the Senate and House races and so forth. So we're going to be keeping our eye on that in the days ahead. And tonight on NovaMRadio.com, we will be talking about it all night long, going out to Alaska where we got some folks out there. We're going to check in with the Palin headquarters.
That's right. You're coming on at midnight Eastern time immediately after our program. You're going to be on how long tonight, Brad?
Until 3 a.m. Eastern, midnight out here on the Pacific coast, and we're going to keep this election watch going all night long with a lot of guests, too, coming up.
Super. All right. Brad, thanks. We'll talk again a little bit later. Money. We got a break. We'll be back, Truth Seekers. Stay with us. Your phone calls are coming up. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I am a patriot. I am a patriot. Country that's safe, in a land that's clean and free, for every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you.
right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot.
Life's too short to listen to Right Wing Radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Very soon, maybe even this week. Now we'll be able to get back to discussing issues other than whether or not Sarah Palin really talks with snakes, whether or not John McCain's face is going to fall off. And whether or not Barack Obama is going to be the next president of the United States, which he obviously is. McCain and Palin are our history, a very blurry, ugly chapter in U.S. political history, but they are history. And it'll be so good not to have to deal with them as political entities and possible instruments of a degenerate, sick, vengeful cloud being who says, I am sending Sarah Palin to slaughter the wicked. Oh, God. Back to your phone calls. Angelica is calling from Germany, listening on the internet. Angelica, welcome to the program. It's Angelica, right?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. However you want to call it. I was just going to say, what are you guys going to do for material then? Audio clips?
Oh, no. Trust me. Trust me.
I mean, you won't get any material from Obama, you know. No comedy there.
Well, no comedy. But, you know, our plan is to ride hard on Democrats in the House and the Senate who are too centrist, too right-wing, and get rid of them in two years. The idea is to, as far as I'm concerned, is to put this country back where it belongs, in a liberal, Democrat mode, so that eventually we can get to the only form of government that I think makes any sense any longer, and that's democratic socialism or social democracy. However someone wants to say it.
Yeah.
I don't think Barack Obama is that man to be the social democrat, although he might.
He might surprise you.
He might surprise us.
And I have a feeling that he will, even.
I hope that's the case. I do know this, that McCain and Palin would have meant the end of this country, as far as we have imagined ourselves. Not as far as we've been, because we have been pretty miserable for the past 20 years. But as far as we have imagined ourselves, McCain and Palin would have brought that imagination to an end. And we would have been dealing, I think, in this country with a kind of religious fascism that would have ended the United States as any kind of a nation that garners any respect from the rest of the world.
And other parts of the world that hadn't been attacked yet, you know, let's not forget that. But let's also not be impatient. It's important because he is inheriting such a pile of trash. I mean, of trashed
everything
that has to be put
yeah.
together again, you know?
Everything that every institution in this country, from our Constitution to our foreign policy to our regulatory agencies, all of it has been wrecked, ruined by...
Exactly wrecked. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, by Republicans. And even as we speak, Angelica, the as Bush and his cohort of criminals are getting ready to leave, they are doing everything they can to further corrupt the regulatory system, to further corrupt anything that they possibly can before they are forced out of office. So
scorch the earth, so to speak.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly it. A scorched earth policy, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm just afraid that people are, you know, they have this psychological feeling everything has to be fast, like they do, you know, with the profits on the stock market. Companies have to show 3 months profit instead of a year.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, there's no sustainability.
Well, this
is
what,
to have
yeah,
that time.
Yeah, this is what Republican, or I should say, right-wing neo-Nazi talk radio is going to do. As soon as, even before Barack Obama is sworn in, the pigs that constitute 95% of talk radio in this country will start their drumbeat of criticism, attacking, demanding immediate results. And it's the only thing I can hope for is that that there will be FCC people appointed who will reinstall or reinstill the fairness doctrine. I would love to see the fairness doctrine in broadcasting come back. Already, right wing pigs Limbaugh and Hannity are saying that any reinstalling of the fairness doctrine is an attempt to destroy right-wing talk radio, which it is not. What it is an attempt to find some balance.
Or provide fairness.
Yeah, after all these years of this right-wing, wall-to-wall, coast-to-coast, border-to-border lies, deception, and garbage that has swilled around this country and damn near destroyed it. So, there's a lot of work for Obama to do, and the right-wing talk radio a cohort of killers and America haters are going to do everything they can to stir up trouble. I'm hoping for hideous diseases and airplane accidents and car wrecks for these people, because that may be the only way to get them off the air. So
yeah, but you know, you have to look at it. This was basically a revolution. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a peaceful revolution on the polls, but, you know, there was masses of people, and I find that very touching to see them standing there and going and just walking up. It's almost, just patiently and such great masses and very modest people and going to vote for Obama. And I was very touched by that. And, so it is a revolution and it has to, all these people have to, for some reason, band together, and they're not going to let it happen, and I hope not, that this man be destroyed by those forces that you just mentioned before, you know, these right-wing neocons.
Yeah.
Because they're not going away just because they're not in power now. And anyway, I just wanted to just send all my happiness, you know, from over here. And, because of what's happening, it's very good. It's very good.
Well, thanks, Angelica. I appreciate it. And we do understand how the rest of the world has been watching this election. America used to be a country that a lot of people looked at, not so much for leadership, but at least for some sort of a moral or ethical touchstone. And again, not necessarily for leadership, but for those other reasons, and that's been trashed by Republicans. Angelica, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. All right, where are we? Ron is calling from San Francisco, listening on the internet. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Mike. It's not over yet. These guys are wily and they have a lot of tricks, and I'll tell you. I would not be a bit surprised if they go after Barack Obama on his origins and his mother marrying foreign citizens, because there's a lot of things in U.S. law that regard females and when they marry foreign nationals. So,
Wait. Before you go off the deep end, none of that matters, okay? None of it matters. An American woman, an American man can marry a Martian if they want to. It has nothing to do with the nationality of the child if the child is born in the United States. Just drop that. Really, don't drag that into your head and make yourself crazy. None of that. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that these guys out there, they have a whole pile of tricks that they can pull.
Right, but that's not one of them, Ron. Honest to God.
I don't know that it is. I don't know that it is or it isn't. I'm just saying you can expect anything from these guys. What needs to happen is that the electoral process needs to be secured from municipal to federal. We need a standard electoral process
yes.
so that we don't have to worry about these con artists getting themselves in positions of power they were never elected to.
Right. Well, I completely agree with that. We need to have, for a national election for President of the United States, there needs to be a national ballot. There needs to be a standardized ballot that every single state uses. There needs to be a system put in place that is operated by an agency of the federal government with outside oversight. So that
I wanted to say just one more thing. As far as the problems that Obama is going to face, in London they have a quarter of a penny per share per trade tax on the stock market. If we had a penny per share per trade tax in our stock market, we could fund this bailout, we could fund infrastructure, and we could fund universal health care. But universal health care must have the alternative paradigm in there. Otherwise, we're forever sucked into this petrochemical, pharmaceutical, toxic sorcery, and the solutions that Obama is going to be presented with will probably be presented to him by people associated with these industries. That's why he needs to expand his field of awareness and get people in there that know about alternative things, so that when Reagan is ill and he goes to Germany and gets Hans Niebuhr in the best alternative care to cure him of his cancer, all of us have that.
I hear you. I hear you. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate what you had to say. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Stay with us.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. You want to have some fun? Switch over to Fox News. Take a look at...
Talk about sad grandpa.
Who is that? Britt Hume.
Britt Hume.
Take a look at Britt Hume.
Someone doesn't get me some Prozac soon.
Britt Hume better... I don't know. He better get a checkup. He's starting to look a lot like Tony Snow. And who is this...
That's Bleach Blonde number 4.
Fox News is projecting that Barack Obama wins Virginia. So there you go. But really, switch over. You got to do this, Trucy. Switch over to Fox News. Oh, my God. Too funny.
We're just going to start playing movies pretty soon.
Too funny for words. All right, back to your phone call. Cindy is calling from Mount St. Helens, Washington, listening on the Internet. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Mike. I just had to run in and turn on Fox News and see Britt Hume's face drop.
Isn't that something? Huh? I love looking at these. I love looking at the Fox News people. You talk about a wasted effort. I wonder if... If what's his name? Who's the guy that owns Fox News? Rupert Murdoch.
Murdoch.
I wonder if he'll switch now to all movies all the time and get rid of these creeps that work on his station.
I wish he'd sell the stations. I wish he would just retire. Doesn't he have enough money?
He's got all the money in the world, but he wants to be a global media mogul, so he'll continue. He'll continue. Trust me.
We'll see how that works out for him because. we're putting together a pretty good political machine here. Do you realize that we have been working this grind for 12 years?
Actually, here in Atlanta, I feel that it started in 1993, 94,
yes,
when this crazy Newt Gingrich came up with his word list and his contract on America. That's what made Sean Hannity's career. Sean Hannity he was working for a local radio station, one of our competitors here in Atlanta. I was working for one of the other stations. And Hannity became an absolute, he did for Newt Gingrich what Monica did for Bill Clinton, and he did it repeatedly over and over and over again. So that made Sean Hannity's career. But that was when, the Republican Party, when it became clear to me and a lot of people who knew Gingrich and knew what a hypocrite he was, that with that massive win of Republicans in 1994, they gained 70 seats or 50 seats or whatever in the U.S. House, that was a clear indication that this country was going to hit a brick wall at 90 miles an hour. It was just a matter of when. And when we hit it was when George W. Bush became president. Now, there's teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the pavement, and it's going to be up to a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic president to clean up this mess, and with an awful lot of encouragement and insistence and guidance from liberal Democrats in this country as to how to clean it up and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, that's what our job is next.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Today being a day to almost celebrate, I want to quickly say hello to Brad Friedman and Angelica, who are out there listening, because they've been working along with Buzz Flash, and I remember you back on the Union radio station. There was Citizens for Legitimate Government, Lori out there, Buzz Flash, Brad Friedman, and your show, and we were hitting it really hard and helped build the movement that you just described. We need to keep these young people that we've just brought in, we need to keep them informed, engaged, registered, and active. You know.
Yeah, that's the key. Active and also teach them the fundamentals of organizing. He was a neighborhood organizer. Oh hell, he's not going to win anything. That sort of thing. Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate you checking in. Yes.
Back over at Fox, they've switched to covering some of maybe the House and Senate seats that possibly Republicans could still win.
Right, yeah, okay. A.E. writes in, Mike, there are a couple of things I've thought of while listening to you. The first is the positive aspect of Barack Obama that hasn't been included in the main storyline. When the death of Obama's grandmother was reported yesterday, part of her biography included the fact that she worked in an airplane assembly plant during World War II. This reminded me of that legendary heroine, Rosie the Riveter. With an Obama victory tonight, it's almost like Rosie the Riveter's grandson has become president. Is that a real American story or what? I've also thought of a negative concern I have. Even with an Obama victory, I won't believe the Bush-Cheney administration is really over until W actually moves out of the White House and Obama moves in. And I understand that, A.E. I'm in complete agreement. I trust Bush Cheney as much as I trust Sarah Palin. All right, we have a break coming up. And then back to your phone call. So if you're not online, come and join us, 800-989-1480. There's still an hour of the program to go. There's still a lot of voting. At 11 o'clock, I think all the polls, with the exception of Hawaii and Alaska, are closed. And then it's going to be pretty much declared Barack Obama the 44th president of the United States. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
this country don't require much description. 306 days since Senator Obama shocked the political world and won the Iowa caucuses, he is now projected to be the 44th president of the United States. The son of an African father, a Kenyan, and a white mother from Kansas, in a country that was stained by slavery, he is now president of the United States. The ultimate color...
Seven past the hour. You know what the cheering is about. All the networks now have declared Barack Obama the winner. We had a lot of fun during the news break. Watching Fox. Oh, my God. All right, if you're on the line, stay with us. We're just going to take this live feed for a while and listen to what how MSNBC is reporting this. Stay with us.
Imagine the world when it wakes up tomorrow morning and says, damn it, they did it. They did it. This country has changed history.
Gene Robinson.
And by the way, we've also changed policy, too. This is a different policy to rule the world.
I can't get to what the rest of the world is thinking. I'm just trying to deal with what I'm thinking at the moment. It is a moment that I will always remember.
Gene, I hate to... Virginia went for Obama, by the way. We can also report. I hate to interrupt that thought, but it's the news.
No, it is an amazing moment in American history. Going back 389 years, to think that a black man, a man of African descent, who represents this nation not only as head of government but as head of state, to think that when we tell our children, as I told my sons, you can grow up to be anything, you can grow up to be president, I'm now telling the truth. I spoke to my mother and father in South Carolina a few minutes ago during a break. They were still up. They were excited. I am so happy that they lived to see this moment. I miss others who did not live to see this moment. My dear mother-in-law and father-in-law, and wish they were here to share. Maybe they're looking down from somewhere and sharing in a moment that not only will I never forget, I think the world will never forget this moment, because it is a moment of demarcation. There was a before and an after. We don't know what happens in the after, but we know it's different from the before. And it feels different to me to be an American tonight.
Whoa! All right. We are going to stay very close to television coverage, because we're reasonably certain that Barack Obama will soon be coming out on the stage at Grant Park to declare his victory over the forces of evil that were aligned against him.
Now, I just want to know, can we get the man some Secret Service detail now, finally, please?
Yeah, let's do that.
We still have to get through January.
Plus, I wish somebody would open up the cameras in McCain headquarters. Let's see how Sarah Palin is doing, huh?
She's sucking down a bottle of Old Granddad at the moment, pacing back and forth with her rifle. I also want to, you know, everybody, don't lose sight of the Senate. Keep checking those Senate races, especially, and the House races. And in that regard, we have a caller.
All right. I'm just kind of caught up in the moment here. So Larry Zamba was somebody that we talked to who is running for a local House seat in Minnesota, right, Larry?
No, I'm in Wisconsin.
I mean Wisconsin. I was thinking about Al Franken. How did it turn out, Larry?
Well, we've only got 30% of the vote in. She's got a wee bit of a lead here, about 3,000, but we've got another 18,000 votes to go, approximately. So I'm cautiously hopeful that it might change.
Well, what's the spread right now?
She's got 11,000. I've got about 8,000.
All right. And what percent of the precincts have reported?
30%.
All right. Well, the night is young. The night is young, Larry. We're certainly with you on this. We hope you pull this together.
Can I cry like a little girl now or later?
Wait till you win.
Pardon?
Wait until you win.
Okay, then I'll cry like a little girl.
Then you can cry like a little girl, right?
Exactly. No, I'm. We've still got a great crowd here. We're all excited. We're really thrilled that Obama took this. Of course, fantastic for the entire country. But you know, on the local level, we've still got a lot of races here to sort out.
That's right.
Mine's one of them.
That's right. That's right. And I think it is very, very important to this country right now how the state legislatures turn blue and how the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate turn blue, and with majorities that guarantee that we will never again have to be faced with the kind of tyranny that these right-wing Republicans are so adept at foisting off the rest of us. All right, Larry, if you hear anything later on tonight, we'll be here for the better part of another hour. Call back in and let us know how it's going, okay?
You got it, Mike. Thank you very much, then, and you have a great evening.
Thanks, Larry. You too. Larry Zamba, who was running for a local House seat in Wisconsin, and with 30% of the votes counted, he said he's about 3,000 behind. Come on, Larry. All right, back to your phone calls. Jacob is calling from Indiana, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Mike. I'm just like the biggest fan of your so excited to be talking to you.
Wait, Jacob, let me put you on hold for a second. We need to get you on a better connection there. We were only catching about every third word. Ed is calling from Washington State, listening on the Internet. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for all you're doing, man. Last night, you really got me shook up.
Oh, yeah?
Because, yeah, I've been thinking about that, what you said, ever since then. And with the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, Presidential Homeland Security Directives 50 and 51, deploying the 3rd Battalion combat group here in this country and building all these detention camps all
right.
over the country. Even though this is fantastic, Barack has won it, I'm still not very comfortable. We've still got 2 months to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This bunch of murdering thieves could pull anything.
Anything. That's right.
They could stage a riot, make up one, and then have Bush call martial law and suspend everything.
That's right. That's right.
So what can we do to, I can't say prevent it, but to prepare and for a reaction to it?
Well, I think that there is less of a chance of that happening tonight than there was last night. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because the Bush crime family, the criminals that these people are, they're watching television tonight just like you are, just like I am.
Yeah.
And they're seeing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people celebrating something that a lot of political pundits said just simply could not happen in the United States. And I think that's giving whatever plans might have been afoot to stop this. I think those plans are being thrown in the Oval File right now because as stupid and as immoral as the Bush crime family is, I think they understand that the American public right now is pumped to a degree that if any attempt were made to interfere with this process, there would be blood in the streets, period.
Yep.
Period. There's no question here.
All day long, I've been quoting you. When
oh,
you
yeah.
said, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool
right.
me three times, I'm going to kick your ass.
I'm coming for your ass.
I'll tell you what.
Right.
I've been telling everybody I know about that. And in the grocery store, people are lined up maybe 15 deep, and every one of them say, yeah, you bet. Boy.
Right.
They try that again, man.
I hear you. All right, Ed, we got a boogie. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in, Ed. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Oh. Yes, we can. The opportunity.
prosperity. Yes, we can. The opportunity and prosperity.
Yes, we can heal this nation.
Yes, we can repair this world. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes.
The New York Times have told you lies. When they get caught, they give you $2 cents. They don't worry about what makes you cry.
Let there be no reason now for any American to fail to cherish their citizenship in this, the greatest nation on earth.
John McCain's concession speech.
Senator Obama has achieved a great thing for himself and for his country. I applaud him for it and offer him my sincere sympathy that his beloved grandmother did not live to see this day. Though our faith assures us she is at rest in the presence of her Creator and so very proud of the good man she helped raise. Senator Obama and I have had and argued our differences, and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. These are difficult times for our country, and I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I urge all Americans. I urge all Americans who supported me to join me in not just congratulating him, but offering our next president our goodwill and earnest effort to find ways to come together, to find the necessary compromises to bridge our differences and help restore our prosperity, defend our security in a dangerous world, and leave our children and grandchildren a stronger, better country than we inherited. Whatever our differences, we are fellow Americans. And please believe me when I say, no association has ever meant more to me than that. It is natural. It's natural tonight to feel some disappointment. But tomorrow, we must move beyond it and work together to get our country moving again. We fought as hard as we could. And though we fell short, the failure is mine, not yours. I am so deeply grateful to all of you for the great honor of your support and for all you have done for me. I wish the outcome had been different, my friends. The road was a difficult one from the outset, but your support and friendship never wavered. I cannot adequately express how deeply indebted I am to you. I am especially grateful to my wife, Cindy, my children, my dear mother, and all my family, and to the many old and dear friends who have stood by my side through the many ups and downs of this long campaign. I have always been a fortunate man, and never more so for the love and encouragement you have given me. You know, campaigns are often harder on a candidate's family than on the candidate, and that's been true in this campaign. All I can offer in compensation is my love and gratitude and the promise of more peaceful years ahead. I am also, of course, very thankful to Governor Sarah Palin, one of the best campaigners I've ever seen. One one of the best campaigners I have ever seen, and an impressive new voice in our party for reform and the principles that have always been our greatest strength.
She's a maverick.
Her husband Todd and their five beautiful children.
She's a maverick,
their tireless
y'all.
Tireless dedication to our cause and the courage and grace they showed in the rough and tumble of a presidential campaign. We can all look forward with great interest to her future service to Alaska, the Republican Party, and our country. To all my campaign comrades, from Rick Davis and Steve Schmidt and
comrade.
Mark Salter, to every last
comrade
volunteer who fought so hard and valiantly month after month in what at times seemed to be the most challenged campaign in modern times, thank you so much. A lost election will never mean more to me than the privilege of your faith and friendship. I don't know what more we could have done to try to win this election. I'll leave that to others to determine. Every candidate makes mistakes, and I'm sure I made my share of them. But I won't spend a moment of the future regretting what might have been. This campaign was and will remain the great honor of my life. And my heart is filled with nothing but gratitude for the experience and to the American people.
Yeah. Hey, go away, Lumpy. You had your ass handed to you tonight, big time. Don't try to get all kissy face now. Just take your governor of Alaska and leave, okay? As quietly as you can. Thank you very much. Quick break here. When we come back, I'm assuming that Barack Obama will come out and declare his acceptance of what the American people have decided tonight. As far as McCain is concerned, I just don't want to listen to it.
Crazy. There's hope. You said it, it'll drive you crazy.
There's hope.
I'm taking back my power today.
There's hope.
Gas prices, they just keep on rising.
There's hope.
The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can do. Cause now, life's a light. We got nothing to hit but the height. I can tell. Wait and see. There's the bell. Follow me.
Ethel Merman.
And nothing's gonna stop us till we're through. Honey, everything's fine.
It's about 25 before the hour. BJ writes in, I can still hate that Rove is on Fox, Walking Free, and Lindsey Graham won in South Carolina, but like your caller said, Mike, there's a calm coming over me. I feel not so much a grand, happy hope, but the way a doctor might feel when he just stops the patient's bleeding. I've taken my first nice, deep breath in a very long time. A weight has been lifted off my chest. If nothing else, I think I certainly agree with that. There's an awful lot of work that needs to be done now, but maybe Barack Obama's win has stanched the bleeding, stopped the bleeding to some degree. Back to your phone calls. Jeffrey is calling from the Netherlands, listening on the internet. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, Mike, brother Mike, what's up?
You are, apparently.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to congratulate you and,
Well, thank you.
What, like-minded Americans.
What time is it where you are?
It's 5:35
in the morning.
In the morning.
When did you hear the results of the election?
I was following it on Dutch television and also at the internet and listened to your show, of course.
Uh-huh.
I'm a proud member of the Founders Club also, so...
Bless your heart. Yeah, that's great. That's great. What do you think the Obama win is going to mean to the rest of the world? I realize this just happened, but what do you think is going to be the reaction tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, I think that all my my family and colleagues were voting for, or how do you call it, hoping that Obama should win.
Yeah.
And, yeah, everybody's going to be very happy. But, of course, you have the right-wingers here also who don't like Obama too much, but most of the people like him. So we hope that internationally he will tighten relationships with other countries and yeah, go talk to some to other leaders and world leaders to sort this mess out. Because yeah, how do you say it? This very bad 8 years.
Yeah, it has been. You know, I think a lot of the relief with the election of Barack Obama in this country is going to manifest in the fact that a lot of people are going to be so glad that the age of Bush is over. It's ended.
It's very destructive. I can't fathom it, but it's yeah. How do you see it? He left the trail of blood
everywhere. Death, everywhere he went.
Yeah, that's true. Because very bad 8 years. And what you also had was that the politicians over here were copying the dirty tricks and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I hope that Obama will show the world another face of America.
I hope he will too. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling in, man. Take care, okay? Appreciate you checking in. There are such low points from the campaign that just ended, from McCain and his supporters. Even when McCain is trying his damnedest to be gracious, and you know he's choking on every word, his crowd in Arizona was booing the fact that Barack Obama is now the president. Some of the low points, remember the Nazi-like sheriff, where was it, in Florida, who made a big deal about saying Barack Hussein Obama. Remember that? What the dumbass white man didn't understand is something that black folk do understand, and whites, if they've been clued in. Barack Hussein Obama, you see, is not a slave name. Martin Luther King Jr. is a slave name. John Lewis is a slave name. Jesse Jackson is a slave name. Do you understand what I'm saying? Barack Hussein Obama is not a slave name. And the difference is that nobody in Barack's family was a slave. His father is an African. His mother is an American, which makes him, an African American. But his name is a clear indication that Barack Obama does not have a slave ancestry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many white people, I wonder sometimes, white people meet a black man named John Williams. And white man will stand there and say, "Hey, John, good to meet you. My name is Ralph O'Herlihy." And John Williams will stand there and say, "Yeah, you know, I'm John Williams." What the white man doesn't understand is that the guy he's looking at is only a Williams because someplace back, 1, 2, 5, 6, 7 generations, some slave owner said, "Name that boy Williams." And so John Williams, standing there talking to the white man, 6 generations, 7, 8, 10 generations back, had his name disappeared. Whatever the family name was, from Ghana or Nigeria or Congo or wherever the slave trade dragged black folks to this country, whatever the name was, it was lost in the Middle Passage, and it was certainly lost in the slave markets of Charleston or Richmond or Savannah or wherever the slave markets were held. So when the white clownish cop stood there and made some snotty-ass reference to Barack Hussein Obama, thinking that he was inspiring the white idiots standing there because of the name Hussein, what he did not understand, this white idiotic cop, was that he was declaring Barack's independence, that Barack Obama does not have a slave name. Now, black folk understand that in this country, but very few whites do. But if you're white and you're listening tonight, please get that. Please get that. Okay? Please get that. Well, you know, your black friend named Johnny Jones, just remember where the Jones came from. Okay? Just try to remember where the Jones came from. And to white folks who laugh and giggle and hoot and holler because of what we whites perceive to be these funny names that black folk give their children, understand why those funny names, you know, that we white folks see as funny, why those names are applied. Anything to wash off that taint of slavery. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, there's a big teaching moment here. In this country, after 380 years, there's a big teaching moment for blacks as well as whites, but especially for white people. Black folk are going to have to adjust. Do you understand how black folk are going to have to adjust all of a sudden? Race is a major element in this election. It is. But now black folk are going to have to adjust. Oh, my God. There's a man who's the president of the United States who looks like me. Every black parent in this country now will be able to say to their children, you can be anything you want to when you grow up, even president of the United States. There it is. And white people, do you understand how white folk are going to have to adjust? And I'm talking about the liberals and the whites who say, no, I'm not a racist. Do you understand the degree to which the adjustment is going to be demanded? Because of Barack Obama's election, this is a teaching moment for all of us. It really is. And you know what my hope is, Truth Seeker? My hope is that I, as a white person, and my black brothers and sisters, that and white brothers and sisters, that we can accept this as a teaching moment. Because it is a lot more at stake here than Barack Obama's presidency from a political point of view. Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? Is this too deep? Am I going way off in left field? Do you understand? I hope you do. I hope you do. I'm not being preachy. I'm not trying to be. If it's coming across preachy, I apologize, man. I really do. Ladies and gentlemen, I deeply apologize. I'm just saying there is a moment here, and here we are. Here we are. Here we are. A moment that a lot of us never thought would happen. Black folk as well as white folk in this country have a moment. We've got a moment to understand some real essential truths. And I hope, I just hope, I hope, I hope we can learn. It's about 10 before the hour. Now, if you're listening online or KPHX out of Phoenix, stay with Nova M Radio. Brad Friedman will be on the air for another couple of hours, and it's my understanding that Barack Obama is going to speak at Chicago's Grant Park at about midnight. So I'm sure Brad will carry all or most of that live and then take your comments afterwards. So if you're listening to the internet stream from Nova M or KPHX out of Phoenix or KNUV, is that our other? I guess that streams through through KPHX. Just stay, you know, stay where you are. If you're listening on our affiliates or any other way, no, you know. I'm sure that they have other programming planned, but you can continue to listen to Nova M Radio's wrap-up of this historic evening by staying tuned for Brad Friedman. And thanks to our crew tonight, Ian Huff, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. What the hell are we going to talk about tomorrow night, Kathy? I'm just kidding. All right, back to your phone calls. Paula. Paula is calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. Hey, Paula.
Hey, Mike. Is this a wonderful night?
It certainly is an historic night. I hope two things, that Barack Obama is not harmed between now and January 20th, A, B, that he is able, with his own energy and the people he is going to appoint, to clean up the mess that 18 years of Republican misrule has left us.
I do, too. You know, I mean, I think it's going to get ugly. I was watching McCain's concession speech. I was actually kind of like, you know, at how, you know, conciliatory he was being.
Trying to be.
He was actually... It was actually a lot better than I expected.
Uh-huh.
I expected Grumpy to, you know, to show up.
Right.
And.
But did you hear his audience?
His audience scared the crap out of me.
Ugly, nasty.
What were some of the things they were saying? We're not done.
Yeah.
And others. That was really frightening to me.
But see, this is where I cannot cut John McCain any slack at all. He should have come out there and begged forgiveness. For doing what he and that crazy freak from Wasilla have been doing for the past couple of months, whipping these crowds into a frenzy of rage and hate, accusing Barack Obama of everything short of eating little Christian children in the dark of night. So for McCain to come out there with his big conciliatory speech, he should have just tossed that in the ash heap and said, okay, I apologize for the filth and the corruption that I have poured into the political system, especially with this nutball standing over here to my right and her crazed husband, because that's what they did. At no time, with the exception when that woman said, well, he's an Arab, and McCain took the microphone away from her, at no time did either one of these two Republicans ever make any attempt.
And even then his response was, no, he's a decent human being and a good family man.
Yeah.
As right. if the two were mutually exclusive.
Right, right. So,
No, that was just horrible. I hope we've seen the last of Sarah Palin. I really, really...
Oh, my God. She belongs on the shopping channel. Anything.
Yeah, she should be a honking costume jewelry.
Yeah, go sell Rivers. Something. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I really hope we've seen the end of it. But it's just nice to be on the winning end, isn't it?
It's nice to think that maybe the country has a chance now. Again, aside from the decency, and I believe he's a decent man, and the honor morality, the ethics of Barack Obama, in addition to that, I should say, is the fact that Bush and Cheney and the rest of these monstrous bastards are now going to have to leave. They're going to have to go away, go back to their spider holes, go to wherever they belong. I am so glad to see these people gone, Paula. I realize they're not gone. I realize, like one of our callers said, anything can happen between now and January 20th. I understand that. But if it does happen, then I think the American people... it'll be like the was it the Orange Revolution
in Ukraine
when the people realized that their election was about to be stolen, and they showed up, would be comparable in tens of millions of people in this country. And I'm hoping that these morons in the Bush crime family understand if they try to tamper with this country is going to explode.
Honestly, Mike, I never really doubted Obama would win. What I was expecting was a squeaker, another 2000, another 2004, where we went to bed not knowing.
What
the results would be.
A lot of people felt that way,
Just because I never really felt that they wanted to win this time around. But I think my theory, and I'm so glad I was wrong from looking at the results, was that they wanted it to be close to destroy any credibility he had where there would be questions, mm-hmm. and to take away any kind of mandate,
mm-hmm,
that
right.
he was what that it, you know what I mean? I mean, looking at the results, we're not evenly divided. As far as I'm concerned, these results show an absolute rejection of Republican policies, of conservative policies.
Absolutely. And I hope the American public gets that. Hey, Paula. We got to go. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, okay? Have a good night's sleep. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.